Merry Christmas to you this morning. It's a great day, isn't it? And it's a great choice. You made the right choice to come and to worship the Lord this morning. I was in the back and I said, it's a great choice to come and worship. And Dave, who sits in the back row, said, actually, it's not a choice. He said, I woke up this morning and I was, you know, just sitting there and the Holy Spirit came and just slapped me around. And I can understand that. I don't know about you, but I get that. He said, I was slapped around by the Holy Spirit. I go, I've been there, brother. I've been slapped around by the Holy Spirit. And he said, and the Holy Spirit slapped me around and said, it's my birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. Get up and go worship. And I went, awesome. All right. So for whatever reason, you're here. I don't know if you got slapped around. I'm not sure if you had it on the calendar or what, but you're here. And it's a good choice. You're here to worship the Lord on Christmas morning, 2011. I have in my head two different images of what it was like when the angel choir appeared in the hills outside Bethlehem and they sang the glory of God to the shepherds. Two completely different images. The first image is totally classical. You know what I mean? It's like a scene from Handel's Messiah. It's all choir robes and risers and violins and cellos, and it's gorgeous and it's huge and massive, and there's rings of angels on risers, and the orchestra starts and they sing, and it's just like a bell, and it's just beautiful. And the shepherds, whom I will refer to as Caleb and Shem, I don't know why, they just, in my mind, they've become Caleb and Shem through the years. I don't know if there were two or three, or I don't know how many there were, but to me, it's just two guys, Caleb and Shem, and they're out there going, wow, that is amazing. That's so cool. That's one version, that's one image I have in my head. The other image that I have in my head is pure rock and roll. Okay, it's like, it's totally a rock and roll thing, all right? The loudest concert that I ever experienced in my life was on December 9th, 1971. I actually looked it up last night to confirm this. It was December 9th, 1971. It was at the Forum in Inglewood, down in L.A., and it was a British band called The Who, and they were putting on a rock opera called Tommy, and it was a wall of sound. And it was so loud that I just experienced the music. It was like, I couldn't hear anything. And I knew this was true because the guy behind me dropped his cigarette down my shirt. Actually, I don't think it was a cigarette he was smoking. But I didn't inhale, so that's okay. But seriously, he dropped the cigarette. And the next thing I know, he's beating on my back. And he's screaming, you're on fire. But I couldn't hear him, but thankfully I could read lips. It was a wall of, and the band played on, and Pete Townsend was up in front doing the whirlwind rhythm thing. And then he bashed his guitar to pieces at the end. Okay, that's the other image in my head. And Caleb and Shem went, whoa, that's awesome. Yeah, whoa, dude, that is awesome. Okay, I might be off a little bit on my interpretation on that, but I can guarantee you this, that whatever it was that went on in the hills outside of Bethlehem, I can guarantee that it was incredibly powerful and absolutely overwhelming. And it had to be. I mean, it actually had to be that way. And the reason why is because the purpose of the angel choir on Christmas morning was to reveal the awesome glory of Jesus Christ at his birth. That was the purpose of the choir. It was their job to reveal the full glory of that event. And that's what they did. Now, the thing is, nobody could see the glory of Christ on Christmas morning simply by looking at baby Jesus. Like, nobody could see it. Let's read. We're picking up from where we were the other night on Christmas Eve Eve. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 and in verses 9
Well, I'm going to start with verse 8 and go through 20. I'll just read this to you, and let's catch up on the story. It says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping over watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Literally, an angel army. All right? Pick a version. Pick a version. You can go with a classical or rock. It doesn't matter. Pick a version. And they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. It's an amazing scene, and you know, we're familiar with it, and so it doesn't seem as amazing, but let's get re-amazed, shall we? The angel sang of the glory of Christ. It was their purpose to illuminate, to reveal the full glory of Jesus at his birth. And they had to do it because you couldn't see the glory of Jesus just by looking at baby Jesus. So the angels took off. They closed the curtain on the concert, and Caleb and Shem said, let's go, man. Let's get down there. Let's see this thing. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. And they went down there, and they saw the scene. They saw the baby lying in the manger. This will be a sign to you. You'll see a baby lying in the manger. Doesn't sound like much of a sign, does it? You're going to go. You're going to see a baby. That baby's been born. You're going to get down there. And what you see is not going to seem all that extraordinary. You're going to see Joseph and Mary, and the baby is in a manger. It's in a place where they feed animals. It's not that impressive. And do you know that when they looked at baby Jesus, it didn't look anything like your Christmas cards? No halo on baby Jesus? There was no gold glitter. I'm not sure what Mary and Joseph were doing. Maybe they were kneeling by the manger, worshiping and praying. Maybe not. The animals were not all gazing at Jesus. You know, isn't it cool on the cards? All the animals are like looking at Jesus like, thinking cow thoughts like, empty head. Jesus. Okay, none of that happened. They just went down there and they saw this baby. And so, after this, it says in verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They made known the saying. Do you know that the saying that was told to them is the center of the story? Do you know that? Out of this whole thing in Luke 2, it is the saying that was said to them about the child that is the center point. Oh, it has Caesar Augustus, you know, he's in Rome on the throne issuing decrees. The whole world goes to be taxed to the city of their birth. Joseph and Mary have to go to Bethlehem. They get there. There's no room in the inn. The baby is born. They lay him in a manger. Pause that scene. cut to the hills outside Bethlehem. Shepherds are out there, Caleb and Shem. And all of a sudden, this angel comes and speaks to them. And there's a choir of angels, and it's an army of angels, and there's a rock concert of angels, and it's amazing. And they're talking about the glory of God, and it's amazing. They rushed to the manger side, the crib side of Jesus. And the center of the whole thing is the saying that was said to them. That's what they reported. You know, later when they went away, they didn't talk about the angel choir. They didn't say, oh, it was amazing. It was classical. There were violins. Oh, it was amazing. It was, they didn't talk about that. They actually didn't just talk about the manger and Joseph and Mary. You know what they talked about? They talked about the saying that had been said to them, because that's the center. And at the center, the saying was the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the saying that I want to say to you on Christmas morning, 2011. God has a word for you. So I can say that with confidence. God has a word for you. It's not just me telling you a Christmas story. It's God has a word for you. It's the saying that was said to the shepherds. Let's go back and let's read that. We're going to start in verse 9 and just read to verse 11. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." He says, "Fear not, I'm going to tell you the gospel. I bring you good news of great joy." The word good news is the word gospel. Because I'm evangelizing you guys. They're evangelical angels. I'm going to evangelize you guys. But that's not the good news. That's just the setup. Then comes the saying. Want to hear the saying? This is it. Here's the center of the story. And it's in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And that, my friends, is the saying. That is what they rushed away to tell people. Not just what they'd experienced. Some people think of Christian faith as simply an experience. Now, I have an experience with God. Well, it is an experience with God, but it's not just an experience. There's a truth to it. There's a content to it. It's gospel truth. And it's caught up in the saying. That's what they told people. Here it is. Can I give you an outline of the message that they heard? And I'd love for you to think about it today on Christmas Day. I'll give it to you in three parts. Unto you, and you, and you, unto you, this day, okay, right here, right now, this day, this moment, a Savior. That's the saying that overwhelmed them. You know, they made haste, it says in the Bible. It says, you know, after the choir sang, it said they made haste and they went down to see this thing. I love the word in the Greek. It's the word speude. I just like the sound of that, speude. It's cool, kind of cool. It means to run. It means to be zealous, to be excited, to be on fire. Literally, the root of it is fire. They were just on fire, and they were just running, and they were excited. You know what that is. That's what your kids do on Christmas morning when they run to the presents. They're like filled with speude. They're like... They're excited. They're overwhelmed. And it's like, wow, this is so cool. That's speude. That's it. And these guys... they were filled with that spirit, and they were so excited, and they ran. And you know why they ran? It wasn't just because the choir sang so well. It was because of the saying that was said to them. And the first word of the gospel, the first word of the saying is this: unto you. unto you. The angel choir sang of the glory of God. And the shepherds, Caleb and Shem, they're thinking, unto you, unto me? Are you kidding? The first word of the gospel, he says, all of this is for you. It's for you. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's the gospel truth. Now, we have a saying in our church that we like to kind of repeat, and we say, you know, it's not about you. You heard that one? It's a good one. It's not about you. You're too self-focused. Not about you. We like to say that a lot, but it's not totally true. Because when you read the gospel, the first word of the gospel, he says, it is about you. Unto you is born this day a Savior. It is about you. But the thing is, it's not only about you, right? You think it's only about you, that's where you go astray. But I can guarantee you this, it is about you. Unto you this day is born a Savior. And can't we hear the gospel word today? Can't we listen to this and say, I'm going to receive that, okay? It's for you. We got up this morning and we had our kids and our grandkids at the house, and you know, everyone's filled with spew-day. I was, after I had a couple cups of coffee, I was a lot of spew-day. And I was like fired up, and you know, people are fired up, and the kids. And then we went in and we were picking up presents and looking at tags. Oh, this one's for you. Oh, this one has your name on it. You know, here, this present's for you. When I was young, my parents played mind games with us. Do you do that with your kids? Don't do it, because I'm really messed up. Okay, don't do it. They played mind games. And you know what they did was they wrote fake cards and they put other people's names on the cards. And we figured this out after a while. Oh, you're playing a little mind game with me. So all these presents, and I actually don't know which one is for me or if there's multiple or none. I just don't know. So I'll assume that they're all for me. And I'll, you know, because it's all about me. I'll assume they're all for me, and I'll try to figure out what they are. And then, of course, you get your heart set on that one. That's for me. It has someone else's name, but it's actually for me. But it's not, you know. And so this one's for you. It's a great thing, you know. It's got your name on it. And the first word of the gospel, he says, this is God's gift for you, for your life. And why the shepherds? You know, I mean, why the shepherds? It's got to be important that it was shepherds that the angels came to. Bypassed everybody else, went to shepherds. The shepherds, I mean, we know in the culture, the shepherds have no status, and they even have no address. They're just wandering out there in the hills. Okay, who are these guys? Caleb and Shem, who are they? Okay, where's their family? Who loves them? Why are they out there wandering around with sheep? Why do they have no address? Why do they get no respect from anybody? What's the rest of the story for them? I don't know. God knows. See, the shepherds, the UPS truck never pulled up for the shepherds because they had no address, you know? Your house, you know, the truck pulls up. You go, hey, look, somebody sent me something. But they never got anything like that. And then angels show up one day and don't just tell them some religious truth. They actually say, this is for you. Nobody knows you. Nobody knows your address. You don't count for anything. You're not the religious hierarchy. You have no sway in society, but God knows you. He knows your address, and he's coming after you because he loves you, and this is for you. And it's for all people. That's why they went to the shepherds first. You're living in a world today that will rob you of any sense of personal significance or meaning. It's just the way it is in the world that we live today, you know?
It seems like with every new discovery, we build a bigger telescope and we go, oh, the universe is 10 times bigger than we knew. It was already 10 times bigger than we could conceive of, and now it's 10 times bigger than that, which means you're 10 times smaller than before. Like, your life counts for nothing. It's just this little thing. It's a speck amongst 6 or 7 billion other specks. And we have this scientific worldview that is thrust upon us always, over and over and over again. And the hidden message in all of it is that your life doesn't count for anything, really, but what you make of it. And the gospel message comes along and says, that's not true. Unto you is born this day, Christmas Day, a Savior, sent from God. It is His eternal plan, and it's His gift, and it has your name on it. I promise you that if you believe that, it'll change your life. It'll put some speed in your step. You know, I go, wow, that's so cool. Do you believe it? I want you to be a gospel believer. We're here at River West Church to be gospel believers, okay? You might say, I don't know, that kind of stretches my mind. Oh, that's all right. The gospel is mind-boggling, all right? Let's enter in. Let's learn. Are you a beginner? Are you new at this journey of faith, of learning the gospel? It's okay. I mean, I was there. You know, we've all been there. It's okay. Enter in. You have questions. You have doubts. You go, well, I don't know about that. Okay, I don't know how to reconcile that. That's okay. Just keep going. Keep pressing in, because it's so precious and it's so powerful and it's so true. And you need to know this morning that God loves you, that He cares about you, that He knows your name, He knows your address, and that He sent Christ in the world for you. It's good news. And the shepherds were so excited about that saying that they went and told everybody about it. Unto you is born this day. This day. Now, the phrase "this day" in the Bible, specifically in the New Testament, is the Bible way of saying right now. It is the right now of gospel proclamation. Right now. This day. It's right now. Right here, right now. And this theme of this day, or the right now of the gospel, is something that's pervasive in the Bible, pervasive in the New Testament. Later in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 4, it says that Jesus went into the synagogue, He took up the scroll of Isaiah, He began to read, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and to give sight to the blind, and to set captives free." And He rolled up the scroll and He said, "This day, that scripture is fulfilled in your presence. This day, right here, right now." Zacchaeus, little guy, was up in a tree. Jesus walked by and saw him. He's looking down, "Hey, Jesus." You know, he's so short he couldn't see Jesus, so he climbed a tree. Jesus looked up and saw him and He said, "Zacchaeus, this day I'm going to come to your house. This day salvation has come to you. This day." The Bible says today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6. Today, right now. Don't let it pass you by. It's God's way of saying, take action now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Unto you, this day is born a Savior. But you know, He's not just saying, mark it on your calendar, and then once a year, observe the day. He's not saying that. He's saying this is the right now of the gospel, right now, okay? Right now, something's happening. I want you to know that right now, something's happening. The Spirit of God right now knows your name, knows your address. Christ was born for you. And right now, you have the opportunity to respond. Right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You know, what if Shem and Caleb had been out there going, well, that was a really cool concert and really cool, and thanks for the tip, but, you know, we'll go in a couple days, you know, because as exciting as that is, we got a couple things planned that we need to take care of, you know? And how many people do that with the gospel? Oh, yeah, I went to church and this pastor was up there talking about Jesus and the gospel. It sounded really interesting, you know, but no, just I'll get around to that one of these days. And always there's this pressing thing, right now, right now, right now. Unto you is born this day, right here, right now, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so you kind of get the flow, don't you, that the word Savior is the key. The Savior is born. The Soter, the one who will rescue. And it's really magnificent because, you know, in the ancient world, there were many who were called saviors. The gods of the Greek gods were called saviors. Do you know that even Caesar was called a savior? Caesar Augustus, we studied on Friday night about Caesar Augustus, whose name originally was Octavian, which means number eight. He changed his name to Augustus, which means the glorious one. He's a humble guy. So I think I'll call myself the glorious one. And then he had statues erected in his honor. And do you know that on those statues, they were inscribed with Savior of the World? That's what they put on his statues, the Savior of the World. Isn't it intriguing that the Christmas story begins with Caesar Augustus in Rome issuing the decree, and it leads us out into the fields outside of Bethlehem with a couple of unknown shepherds with an annunciation about the one who actually is the Savior, the one who actually will rescue? Do you know that unless you include the concept of a Savior, you cannot celebrate Christmas at all? There's really no sense in it. The gospel has no meaning. Christmas has no meaning apart from a Savior, one who will rescue. And our awareness of needing to be rescued is all part of the story. What does it mean to be rescued? It's funny, I was thinking about this. When I was a kid, I must have been about 7 years old, and my dad took me to downtown L.A. to this huge building, and it was like the garment building, you know, all these companies. And I was scared to death because I had never been into downtown LA before. And I was totally freaked out. And there's all this traffic and these huge buildings and people on the street. And we parked the car and got out, and I was paralyzed. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get lost. My dad is going to march right off, and I'm going to get lost out here in the streets of LA. This is a bad thing. And so I pulled my dad back, and I said, what will happen if I get lost, if I get separated from you? He says, it's not going to happen. But I said, but what if it does happen? What will happen? Will you come and find me? Will you save me? Yes, I will come. Let's go. Not so fast, I said. What if I get separated and a bad man comes and takes me and puts me in his car and drives away? What will you do then? Will you save me? Will you rescue me? Yes, I will find you. I'm your father. I will find you. Now shut up and let's go. But you know, I'm like, I'm freaked out here. This is dangerous. I need to know that you will rescue me. Came across a story, really interesting. Ben Witherington, Christian writer, tells a story. He said, I was sitting in the lobby of the Joseph Beth bookseller in Lexington the other day, and there was a mother with her ever so inquisitive child trundling along beside her, and the child kept asking his mother about hell. He asked, could I ever do something bad enough to go to hell? And his mother said, I can't imagine a child doing something that bad. He kept pressing the issue. But who would guard me and keep me from going there? You are my mommy. You wouldn't let me go there, would you? You would rescue me, right? The young boy's mother was on the verge of exasperation and tears and said, of course we would rescue you. Your parents love you and would never allow you to go there. And this seemed to satisfy him. Wow. Wow, that's an intense kid. And this poor mom, you know, it's like, what is in your head? But you would rescue me, right? I mean, you would come. You would save me from hell, wouldn't you? Yes, your father and I will rescue you. We'll march right down there. We're going to march right down there and get you out. We'll save you. Not. It's not going to happen. Oh, man. That mom needs a little lesson in the gospel, you know? The Savior. We learn in Matthew, the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 1, his name will be Jesus because he will save us from our sins, right? He will save us. Now, the story of Christmas is intense. And you can't understand the glory of Christ at Christmas just by looking at baby Jesus. You've got to look at the rest of the story. It's the rest of the story that brings it all together. That's why the angels called him a savior. How can a baby be a savior? And how can that be? There must be more to the story. And indeed, there is. So, yesterday, my granddaughter, she spent the night and she was hanging out and she found the book, our Jesus book. This is our family Jesus book. That it's from a movie that was made back in the 70s, kind of dated. But, you know, this is the book that, you know, we showed our children and has pictures from the movie about Jesus and the story of his life and, you know, the whole thing. And so we're going through the Jesus book and, you know, she's looking at this book and she's ripped out pages. Jenna, she ripped out pages. Your daughter. She walked in with these pages ripped out. Okay. This is Jesus. Okay. This is Jesus being crucified. And I went back and I said, well, let's look at the story. And so, you know, I'm finding the part about Jesus being born, but it's only a couple pages. You know, it's nice. It's sweet. It's on the front. This is Jesus in the manger. Jesus is being born. It's Christmas. But, you know, have you ever considered, you try to tell the story of Christmas to your children, and you realize it gets brutal real fast, you know? I mean, I'm going through this, and I'm like, yeah, there's baby Jesus. And I go, oh, no, here's the soldiers coming to kill all the babies. Well, Papa, why do they want to kill all the babies? Why do they have swords? What do they do? Do they kill all the babies? Well, yeah, they actually killed all the babies. Really? Oh, and here's a picture of Jesus and his parents, and they're running to Egypt. They're fleeing. They're getting out of town. Well, why did they need to leave town? What's the matter? What are they afraid of? You know? And you go through the story and you go, this is intense. John the Baptist is out there like a lunatic in the you know, desert telling people to repent. It's all so intense. And it just goes right to the cross and Jesus. You know, he's being beaten and whipped and crucified. I tell you, it's not a children's story, is it? You know? But it's for all people. Unto you, this day is born a Savior, and he will rescue us. But the way that the child becomes the Savior is through the way of the cross and his resurrection. And it's an amazing story. He pays for our sin. He sets us free from guilt and shame. You say, well, I don't feel guilty or shame. Well, then the story of Christmas, you're going to have a hard time really entering into it. I don't need to be rescued from anything. I got it all together. Oh, really? Well, then, gosh, I don't know how it's going to work for you. Jesus said, I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said, you know, those who are well don't need a physician, but the sick do. Shem and Caleb, they're pretty happy. I don't know what their backstory was, but they're pretty happy. They're like, this is awesome. This is great news, man. They started telling everybody about it. So excited. Came for us. He's a savior for us. Not Caesar. This Jesus. Okay? And so I want you to open your heart to the Savior at Christmas. To put your faith in Jesus at Christmas. You say, well, that was a pretty short presentation, you know. Yeah, it was. That's why we go to church. We come on Sunday and invite you to come back. Come back. We open the scriptures. We say, what is the truth of Jesus? What's the truth of the gospel? What does it mean for us? What does it mean to be forgiven? What does it mean to know God through Christ? What does it mean to be set free? What does it mean to walk with Jesus? For the one who died on the cross, he rose again. And he's alive. And he loves you today and every day. And so I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up here. And I guess what I'd like you to do is hear the saying. Hear the saying. I told you the saying, just like the shepherds told the saying. I told you the saying. Unto us, unto you, this day, today, is born a Savior. He is Christ. He is the Lord. And Today, if you believe that, your life has changed. Your life has meaning and purpose. You can know God and be right with God through the grace of Christ. Okay? That's his gift at Christmas time. And that's my prayer and my wish for each of us. Let's say a prayer right now and we'll sing just a bit more before we go. Thank you so much, Lord, for the wonder of the gospel. Oh, Lord, we could take a lot more time with it because it's so rich and so deep. But Lord, I pray that your Spirit will touch our hearts and that you'll speak to us what we need to hear, Lord. For some, they need to believe that it's for them. Just, it's for them. It's a gift with their name on it. And I pray that they would hear that and trust that and believe it. For some, they need to know that today is the day of salvation. Not put this off. To come to Jesus. Put their faith in the Savior. Oh Lord, I pray for those that they will. And Lord, for each of us to understand that nothing in this world can save us. There's nothing that can give our lives meaning or reconcile us with Holy God other than Jesus and what he's done for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just as our hearts are bowed in an attitude of prayer, will you receive the gift this morning? You know, you can do that. You can open your heart to Christ this morning on Christmas morning. You can simply just say a prayer. Talk to God in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. God knows your heart. And say, Lord, I thank you for this gift, and I trust that it is for me. And so today, right here, right now, I open my heart to the Savior. Say a prayer. Invite Jesus to be your Savior. Ask him to give you the gift of forgiveness and the hope of new life. Do it now. We love you, Lord. It's a great day. And we worship and honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.